introduction to the book of Joshua, and we talked about that leadership transition from Moses to Joshua. We discussed how difficult that must have been, given that Moses was the leader for so long. We said that one of the key themes, of course, was the promise of the land. We talked about three promises, that there'd be a people, that there'd be a land, and then that God's blessing would be upon that. And God had promised Abraham and his descendants that they would become a great nation. And of course, that promise to Abraham was 700 years before Joshua is about to cross the Jordan and lead the Israelites into the promised land. And for us today, you know, the promised land, it's representative, it's symbolic of the Christian life as it is. And it includes conflict and victory. It's a place where we need to exercise faith and obedience. And when we do that, it results in spiritual riches and rest. Notice I'm saying spiritual riches. We don't preach a prosperity gospel that says, when you come to Jesus, everything will be fine. Your wallet will be full and, you know, nothing ever bad will happen to you. That's not the reality of the Christian life. And it's very much like the Israelites going in to the promised land. There was conflict, but there was victory. They had to demonstrate that faith and obedience, but they did experience spiritual riches and rest. And there are many parallels between the storyline of the book of Joshua and our Christian lives. We're just like the Israelites. The Israelites were delivered from slavery under Pharaoh. They were delivered by God who used Moses. In the same way, Jesus rescues us from the dominion of darkness and puts us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. We also have left the enemy behind, you know, the Egyptians and Pharaoh. But of course, as my mum used to say, that doesn't mean that life is all beer and Skittles. When we come to Christ, it doesn't mean that we will never, ever have a problem or a battle again. The Christian life is, in fact, a series of battles and hopefully a series of victories as well. We get one victory, then inevitably we're led into another battle somewhere else in our lives. And last week we also talked about how important it was to kind of step into all that God has promised us today. In the same way that Joshua and the Israelites had to step into the promised land and had to take their authority over the promised land, we as Christians have to step into this new life and do that as well. And if you were here last week, you'll recall we talked about the promise in verse 4 of Joshua chapter 1, which told Joshua and the Israelites how much land that they would get. And when you look at that, we said that today, if you're looking at a map today, that would equate to all of Jordan, all of Lebanon, all of Kuwait, part of Syria, of course, all of Israel, part of Saudi Arabia, and half of Iraq. I mean, that's a massive chunk of land. And of course, the Israelites, even at their height under King David and Solomon, only ever possessed about 10% of that promised land. I mean, what a shame. There was 90% that they didn't do. And for us as well as Christians, let's make sure that we don't leave 90% of what God has for us just left out there unclaimed, unchallenged. We can't make that same mistake. And I guess my hope and my prayer through this whole series, as we continue through it, is God will show us all in our lives that we are meant to possess everything in our Christian life and Christian walk. And you know, maybe there's more ground in our lives that has to be taken. Maybe there's ground we had that we've lost and we have to take that back. You know, we can't afford to rest or settle down as the Israelites did with only 10% of their inheritance. We need to fully enter into all that God has for us. And that's where you say amen. Jesus has entrusted us with an incredible mission, with a great mission. In the same way that God is commissioning Joshua and the Israelites. And for us, the mission is the fulfillment of the Great Commission, to go into all the world with the gospel. For us, it's the fulfillment of the Great Commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And when Jesus gave us the command to go into all the world, it kind of echoes the words of God to Moses and to Joshua, who said that when you go, that I'm going to be with you all the time. My presence will be with you. And as well as we go with the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, God's presence is with us. And so nothing should hold us back because of the promise of God's presence. And our role is to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us as we possess the land, as we move into those areas in our life, the things that God has planned for us. We ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and help us overcome whatever is holding us back. And maybe, if you're like me, there's things in your life that are holding you back, you know, from overcoming. Things maybe that we've tolerated for some time because they just seem too hard. They seem impossible. They seem immovable. Well, God wants to challenge us about those things. We have to step out in faith, and as we do, go with the promise that God is present with us, that He is all-powerful, He is all-sovereign. Are there areas in our lives that we have to overcome? Is there territory that we need to claim back? Is there new territory we need to move into? Are we battling with the enemy of addiction? Well, with Jesus, we can overcome it. Are we battling with sin? Well, Jesus can help us overcome that. Are you struggling with maybe bitterness or unforgiveness for something that's happened in the past? Jesus can help us gain the victory over that. He can help us gain the victory over our thoughts and our emotions. Maybe you're dealing with a broken heart or a broken relationship. Well, Jesus can heal us in those areas as well. God has given us so much. Last week we talked about all of the spiritual blessings that we have that Paul lists in Ephesians chapter 1. They are ours, and we need to step into those things. We also said that God's promise to Joshua and the Israelites again, was His presence. And, you know, when God is for us, as Paul says in Romans 8, if God is for us, if God's with us, who can be against us? And I think that's incredibly encouraging for us as we look at the giants in the land, as we look at some of the obstacles and those things that are holding us back. As we look at all of that, I think we can be encouraged by that. So, what God said to Joshua, He says to us. God said to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. You know, Jesus says that to us today. God said to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus says that to us today. So it's with that we come into the book of Joshua. Now, I know we read the first couple of verses of chapter 1 last week. I'm just going to go back over those, and I just want to read the first 10 verses or 11 verses to start. So, Joshua chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, let's go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River and enter the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every piece where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all of the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Wow, what a promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Into verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. You might hear a theme here. Be very careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers and all the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your very own. In that chapter, God commands Joshua on 4 occasions to be strong and courageous. In verse 6, 7, twice in verse 9, where the command is expressed both positively and negatively. Be strong and be courageous positively, then negatively. Don't be afraid and do not be discouraged. And in the final verse of the chapter 1, we see again where the people, after Joshua has given them instructions, the people say back to Joshua, okay, Joshua, we're going to do everything you say. Now you be strong and courageous. So this idea of strength and courage is very important if we're going to be possess all that God wants us to have. And it seems being strong and courageous is a key to taking those areas in our life that we need to take or need to take back. Be strong and courageous. That's how God wants us to live. And the good thing is that that strength and courage doesn't necessarily come from ourselves. It's not something we generate internally. It's something that God, through His Holy Spirit, can infuse us with. Yes, as we will see, there are things that we can do to build strength, to build courage in the life that we're called to live, but it's something also that comes from God. There's a Bible app called YouVersion. It's the most popular Bible app in the world, and at the end of each year they release all of these statistics about, you know, the most popular verse, and of course each year it comes out the same. It's Joshua 1 verse 9. It's bookmarked, it's highlighted, it's the most shared verse, and it's that. It's be strong and courageous, don't be afraid and do not be discouraged. The most popular Bible verse ever, it would appear, which seems to indicate something. Maybe it indicates what we really need. The thing that we need to be encouraged with the most is the thing that we need the most if we're going to be fully committed to God's mission, the Great Commission, and to the Great Commandment, to love God and to love those around us. So what God was asking Joshua and the Israelites to do wasn't easy. You'll remember 40 years before this, 12 spies had gone into the land, 10 had come back. They were freaked out. There were giants in the land. I mean, it was massive. We can't do it. This is an incredible thing that they had to go and do. And at times, what Joshua was leading the people into and asking them to do, what God was asking them to do, was terrifying. And there's times for us where you're completely out of our depth. And it's terrifying. It's fearful. But we have to come back and we have to remember that even in the face of daunting and overwhelming situations or odds, that God encourages in the midst of that to be strong and courageous. Life can be challenging, but we don't do it alone. We can dip into God's strength and courage to accomplish all that He wants us to do. Be strong and courageous. But that doesn't mean rely on yourself. And as you will see, it's relying on those around us. But primarily, it's relying on the Holy Spirit for all of those resources of heaven. If we're to have the victory over the enemy, if we're to step into all that God has promised us, if we're going to claim our inheritance in Christ, then we have to have a spiritual strength, a spiritual courage. And if that's true, then I guess the question is, how do we build spiritual strength? How do we build spiritual courage in our lives? And I believe that there are some incredible keys in the remaining part of chapter 1 that will help us to build strength and courage. Joshua 1, looking at verse 7-8, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. We get strength and courage, friends, from the Word of God, from the Bible. It builds us up. It makes us strong. It gives us courage. God's telling Joshua that he can draw strength and courage from the book of the law. For us, it's the Scripture. Now, Joshua didn't have the complete Bible that we have. He probably had the first five books, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what they call the Torah, the law. We call it the Pentateuch. He would have had most of that, whether it had been all written down then, but they knew it orally anyway, and they communicated it orally. And Joshua's strength and courage, God said, would come from your relationship with my book, from your relationship with my law, from your relationship with the Scripture. And he was to speak it. It was to always be on his lips. He had to meditate on it day and night. And he had to be careful to obey all that was there. And it's the same thing that Moses had spoken to the Israelites back in Deuteronomy 11, when he said, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees and his laws and his commands always. Moses is saying the same thing that God's saying to Joshua. Here's the word. Here's the law. Keep it close to you. This is the thing that will make all the difference. The constant and careful absorbing in the Word of God leads to obedience, but it also leads to strength and courage. Joshua gets it, and he lives his life by it, and we see all that is produced and all that is accomplished by Joshua doing that. And as you come to the end of the book of Joshua, you see how important this was to him. You know, Joshua 22, verse 5, he says, when Joshua is talking to the people, he says, be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave. Him and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. You see, it was important to Joshua in chapter 23. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside from the right to the left. We are so incredibly blessed. I don't know how many Bibles that you've got at home, but I've lost count. And, you know, we fail to recognize the price that's paid so that we can have access to the whole story of God from Genesis to Revelation in different versions that we can understand. It's there, but we have to open it for it to make a difference in our life. We are so incredibly blessed that we have this story that records the history of the world. It records the future of the world, where we're heading as well. And we know where we come from. We know where we're going. And folks, that's got to give us strength, and that's got to give us encouragement as we look to all the promises of God for the future, for the new heavens, for the new earth. You know, a place without sin and sickness and tears and all of that. We've got to have hope. We've got to be encouraged by that. And that infuses the strength and courage into our lives. We need to be regularly drawing our strength and courage from the Word of God. We need to be guided by the wisdom of God's Word. We need to meditate on it, to think about it, to pray about it, to always have it on our lips. Now, you know, I have not been prescriptive in how we read the Bible. You know, some people say you have to read it once through every year, or do it this way or do it that way. Look, folks, I don't care how you do it, so long as you're doing it. So long as you're opening it up, and, you know, each day, I think there's something in doing it regularly, doing it systematically, but each day, opening it up and getting something out of it for that day so that the Holy Spirit can take whatever you're reading and infuse that strength and that courage into your life. Right through the Bible, we're encouraged to deepen our relationship with God's Word. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or take seat in the company of the mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. The Word of God, to be meditating on it. There's a strength, there's a courage that comes from it. And we need to draw that strength and courage from God's words. And when we let those words just permeate our whole life, I think it makes an incredible difference. We're in a spiritual battle. Paul talks about it. And in Ephesians chapter 6, he lists the armor of God. And of course, one of the parts of the armor of God that he talks about is the sword of the Spirit, which he says is the Word of God. I mean, all the other parts of the armament are defensive, the shield, the helmet, but the only offensive weapon, the attack weapon, is the Word of God. But unless you know how to wield it, unless you know what's in it, unless you know how to use it, well, you may as well not even strap it onto your belt, because it's not going to help you at all. We must draw strength and courage from the Word of God. You know, I've told you a few stories about my experiences in the gym. Most of them aren't good. About 10 weeks ago, I decided I'd get a personal trainer. And so I booked him for 3 times a week. And he said, what do you want to do? I said, I just want to do 3 exercises. I want to learn how to do squats properly. I want to learn how to do go back. But last week was my last week, and so he tested me. And, you know, he documented what I could, in the system that he's using, you know, I start, he gives me a weight, he says, okay, do eight of those. So I do eight. He documents the strength, you know, and the improvement that, you know, when you started kind of, you know, squatting, well, you could only squat, you know, 40 kilos or something. Now, you know, you're up to 100. So it was great. You could see the change, and you could see the difference that regularly going to the gym, regularly being encouraged to do these exercises, how I've grown and how, you know, I've strengthened. And there was, you know, when you're doing squats where you've got the bar on your back and you're going right down, you know, the thing I can still hear, I went and did it by myself the other day, and all I could hear was my trainer, and he's saying, you're not going down far enough. Get down deeper. You know, get down deeper. No, you can go further. You can go further. And I'm thinking, I can go down, but I won't get up. But he's saying, unless you go deep, it's not going to do you any good. You know, you're just looking good. You might be just playing the part, but you've got to go deep to get the most out of the exercises. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, it's like that with the Word of God. You know, you want to get the most out of it, you've got to go deep. And can it be a bit painful? Well, it's going to cost you something. It was interesting, after I'd finished this whole message and that the day before yesterday, I got this through on my email yesterday, and the title of it was Scripture Engagement is Healthy for You. Just listen to this. Deep engagement with the Bible can dramatically improve your general health, according to research by the American Bible Society. People with higher levels of scripture engagement have better well-being scores compared to those who are less engaged with the Bible. The research shows that scripture engagement is a driving factor in higher hope scores. When people are engaged with scripture on a regular basis, they have more hope and are more ready and willing to forgive others. There you go. Connection to the Bible and Christian community provides hurting people with a bridge to hope and healing. This is what I think about the squats. When deeply engaged with scriptures and allowing it to touch our hearts, we see significantly decreased levels of stress. Some of the highest levels of hope for the future are among people who are the closest to the Bible. Consistent Bible engagement anchors a virtuous life, gives ethical stability and feelings of purpose, and provides the basis for an overall better outlook on life. It's not just me saying it. The experts are saying it as well. That deep engagement with Scripture changes something in our lives. You know, we don't grow just through spiritual experiences. Yes, we're a Pentecostal church, and, you know, we're prone to lean towards that. And, you know, I've known people over the years who, you know, don't want to necessarily do the hard yards, but want to go to a particular meeting or get prayed for by a particular person because they want to get zapped. They want to have that mystical experience, and they want that to change them forever. And, you know, that you don't have to do anything. But it doesn't always work like that. Well, it rarely works like that. I mean, I'm all for supernatural encounters with God. I'm all for the Holy Spirit touching us. And, you know, I've experienced that at different times in different ways. But most of the growth of a Christian comes through that systematic engagement with the Word of God, letting God mentor us, letting God disciple us in a real way. We don't grow by just getting the latest number one book from Kerrang. We go to the number one bestseller of all time, the Bible. And that's the thing that will help us grow and get courage and disciples. It's hard. And I've got a name for it, but I've stolen it from a book. It's a series we did many years ago. A man called Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, he wrote a book on discipleship, and he was preaching through Psalms. And in doing that, he was drawing out aspects of discipleship. And the name of the book was this, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A long obedience in the same direction. And that's what discipleship is. That was that kind of describes what our relationship with the Word should be. You know, you may not open up the Scripture and God talk to you and lights and angels sing and all of that, but you're taking something in. It's long obedience in the same direction. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And the more you do it, the more you're availing yourself of the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the more that you're being infused with the strength and courage that we need to walk into all that God has promised is ours. So strength and courage from the Word of God. The other thing we see here, just finishing up is, well, when I say just finishing up, I mean I'm on my last, my second last point at 22 or something. Finishing up soon. We get strength and courage from the Word of God. The other part that we see here in verses 12 to 15 is that we get strength and courage from the people of God. Joshua 1, verse 12. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving this land. Your wives and your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you to the east of the Jordan, but all of your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of the fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest and as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to you on the east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. This passage is about drawing strength and courage from the people of God. Starting in verse 12, we read about where Joshua is giving specific instructions, not to all the Israelites, but just to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, I'm not sure how much you know about the Old Testament, but the nation of Israel was broken up into 12 tribes. And when they go into the land of Israel, area is allocated to the different tribes. Those 12 tribes, so the 12 tribes were generally, largely, the descendants of Jacob. And so there was Abraham, there was Isaac, then there was Jacob, and then Jacob had 12 sons and a daughter. But the tribes of Israel were Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Now, Joseph, who was one of the sons, didn't get any kind of inheritance because his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, he got a double portion because of all that Joseph did. So Joseph is not listed as one of the tribes, but his two sons are, Ephraim and Manasseh. Then there was Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. There was Levi was also one of the sons, but Levi became the father of the priests, and the priests didn't have a land inheritance as such. But there were 12 tribes. So I've got a map here. I hope you can see the map. Have I got a map there? Thank you. So a bit blurry. But you'll see to the right there, you'll see the Sea of Galilee at the top, then the Jordan River coming down the middle, then the Dead Sea. So you've got Manasseh, which covered both sides of the Jordan, the east and the west. Then you've got the tribe of Gad, just south of Manasseh. Then you've got the tribe of Reuben. So what had happened is, as they were wandering around the wilderness, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh said, hey, this land here isn't too bad. Can we settle here? And God said, yeah, you can. So he gave them an inheritance and a land that side of the Jordan River. But he said, however, you know, even though I'm giving you this land and you're going to settle down and, you know, build your cities and you build your farms and all of that, you still got to help the other boys take the rest of the land from the Canaanite tribes. So you can settle down, but don't settle down too much. And so in actual fact, we see when Joshua does cross the Jordan with all the Israelites to take the rest of the promised land, you see that the fighting men from Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh go before the rest of the tribes and engage with the tribes on the other side of the river as well. So one of the things that this tells us that the journey into the promised land is taken together with the people of God. And there's a strength, there's an encouragement that comes, a courage that comes because we're with those around us. We're not going in by ourselves, but we're going in with all of the people of God. And, you know, the world around us encourages us to look to ourselves. You know, it's all about you. It's what you want. It's, you know, your priorities. You know, you do you. Don't worry about anyone else. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's not the people of God. The people of God is all about us together, coming together. Different functions, different parts of the body, but everyone needed to take the land to do all that God has called us to do. The kingdom of God is about the body of Christ, the church working together. It's about being a part of it so that we can build one another up. So that not only does courage and strength come through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, it comes from the people of God around you. Man, I don't know how many times I've been encouraged by those in the church over nearly 40 years of following the Lord. I don't know how many times I've been built up, I've been spurred on, I've been encouraged to go and do things and try things that maybe I would never do. Even, you know, coming into End Church to leaving Nexus to come here and plant the church those years ago. Man, I got so much encouragement, you know, from people in the church. If we didn't have that, I would never have made it. And we get that strength and courage from the people of God. We draw strength and courage from them. And I guess when we talk about drawing strength and courage from the Word of God, the question we have to ask ourselves is, does that describe us today? Am I drawing my strength and courage from the Word of God? When we talk about strength and courage coming from the people of God, the question we have to ask ourselves is, does that describe us? Are we getting strength and courage from the people of God? Are we kind of infusing that as well? It's a two-way thing. If it just ends up as a one-way thing, then it's not working properly. It's a two-way thing. And I guess these questions are really, well, what's your response going to be to God? You know, are you going to, you know, come and have that relationship with the Word of God? Are you going to be a part of the body of Christ? Because these two things here very clearly infuse that strength and courage into the people of God. And I guess my prayer, and I'm sure your prayer, is that our response to those questions even would be exactly the response of the people of God to Joshua. When Joshua said, this is what God told me, this is what we're going to do. What did the people of God say to Joshua? They said this, starting in verse 16. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so Jesus, we're going to fully obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with us as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you command them will be put to death. Well, we won't carry that forward. But only be strong and courageous. Again, the response of the people of God, yeah, that's okay. That's what we want. We want that strength. We want that courage. We're going to meditate on the word of God. We're going to be a part and fight together with the people of God. And my prayer is that that will be the heart of our church. That will be End Church. That will be one of the things that we're known for. We're people who love the Word of God. We're people who preach the Word of God. We're people who honour it. We're people who meditate on it. We proclaim it. We preach it. That we're people who are, you know, my first message this year, Romans chapter 10, we're people who are devoted to one another in brotherly love. We honour one another above ourselves. That's the description of End Church. Let's pray.